is Monday, May 17th, my mother's birthday, on the Lori and Julia show. We celebrated that a little bit earlier, but we can move on. Julia's out today, and it's Brittany Witch. Do you need to play the song?
No, that was a better version.
Okay. Where's our music? Okay. You gotta play it at the top of.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure if it was over.
Every hour.
Lori's my publicist. I don't know if you know that.
Okay.
I see you. Okay, so Brittany, I have a question to ask you. Do you think, or have you heard of a geriatric millennial?
I've heard of an elder millennial.
Oh, you have?
An elder millennial, but
well,
yes.
Well, the term, I guess, is the same. It does mean the same, but they are giving, listen to this. If you were born between 1980 and 85, you are getting the designation of a geriatric millennial, which is absolutely hysterical.
That's me.
Yeah,
I'm 86.
It's basically
old.
Both of Casey's kids are geriatric millennials, and Rocco, listen to this. So they're saying that kids born basically between 1980-85, they're comfortable with analog and digital forms of communication. They were the first generation to grow up with a PC in the home, but they experienced enough years away from screens to know how to communicate face to face.
Yes.
And most of them didn't get cell phones until they were like in high school.
Or college.
And so they have hands-on experience with pre-digital communication.
That's wild.
Oh, so can you say 80 through
85?
Okay.
And so they can, they pick up on facial expressions. You were kids that didn't grow up staring at screens.
We didn't have Facebook until college.
And you're not ignorant of technology, but you're also not so engrossed in it, and nothing scares you about technology either.
That's probably true. I think that's.
So why they've calling it geriatric millennials is absolutely hysterical.
Love.
Twitter had a lot of fun with it. But I thought, well, you know, I mean, if Julie were here, she would just like yell at me. But I have been passionately trying to get Jen Jones to be like people to use it more.
Yeah.
In the vernacular, because just like geriatric millennials have their little special
subculture niche,
you know.
So you're saying you're not a baby boomer, but you're not a Gen Xer. You're in between.
I'm jonesing right in between. They say it's like people born from 54 to 64. So we came of age, you know, the oil crisis, the Carter presidency. We didn't come of age during the 60s. Our dads weren't World War II veterans, which baby boomers' parents were World War II thing. There's no compulsory military service. We weren't involved with protesting against Vietnam. We were too young.
There was a lot of polyester clothing.
But we grew up with televisions and boomers, you know, radio.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jen Jonesers like have never lived in a world of without televisions, and similar to how many members of Gen Z, which is like 97 to 2012, have never lived in a world without personal computers or the internet. Or mobile phones. And unlike Gen X, Generation Jones was born before the sexual revolution of the 70s. In other words, we came of age sexually in the 70s.
Okay, so we have to make this Jen Jones common knowledge.
Common knowledge, because otherwise, like, it's such...
You don't fall in the other two.
And it's also sort of the thing, now maybe they'll come up with a better name, like at least Jen Jones, you know, you're jonesing for a Jones.
It's cute,
or keeping up with the Joneses, but defining the geriatric millennials... The sociologist that wanted to do that is that, like, that is a specific targeted age group of people that a lot of people want to market to.
So it's funny. So I fall right in between geriatric and just normal millennial. Uh-huh. But since we weren't like well off, I kind of fall more into the geriatric millennial because I didn't get a phone until like probably halfway through college. We didn't have a lot of the things that. So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, and they're like, this demographic of people is really interesting, sociologically speaking, and all this other thing. And you know, they've tried. I mean, Jen Jonesers. It was this cultural commentator, Jonathan Pontel, is the one who came up with this like 30 years ago, because it was like, it was already like, if you're a Jen Joneser, you already felt like, you know, you're like, hey, don't stick us in with these old people.
Yeah.
You know, and not that we felt that they were old people, but they were in college when we were in grade school. Yes. So we did not have like the same
similar experiences.
So Jen Jonesers got to be a targeted demographic,
yeah,
doing that. So it's all, you know, it's probably all advertising driven, everything, but they just said, you know, like, it's a way for people to look at this whole, it's a big group of people that were born
agreed. I think we're gonna have to make a video, and we're gonna have to just have to say, this is what we are, Jen Jones.
But can we come up with a better than geriatric millennial?
I mean, do we call it Jerry Millennials?
When I heard that, I thought, do you remember the guy Ryan Perpich that used to produce Don and Steve's show? They always thought he was an old man in a young person's body.
Well, that was because of his penchants for cardigans. Right. So you guys could be cardigan millennials.
Yeah, that's cute.
That would be a better name, cardigans.
I love that, Cardi Millennials. Yeah, that's cute.
That would be kind of good.
Cardinals?
Cardigans.
No, but if you put it, cardigans is cute. I have a hard time saying it. Cardigals.
Yeah. Anyway, that name is like, no one, it's like when a woman, like, I think Halle Berry is the one who told us about, at least when I say us, I'm talking about those of us who get our pregnancy news from gossip magazines. And Halle Berry, in an interview with her first, I think it was knowledge after the fact, she said she was completely shocked, and I've always loved Halle for this, for letting us know that when she was pregnant with Nala, the beautiful baby she had with Gabriel Aubrey, mm-hmm. they told her, well, you're having a geriatric pregnancy at 35. And I was like, what? And she was the same reaction. Ah! She's like, geriatric? But medically speaking,
I turned 35 on Sunday.
Medically speaking, that's what they treat.
Yeah, that's what they called my wife too. Yeah, when she was 39.
And people get quite indignant, but I think geriatric is more of a mindset thing.
Can I get better parking when I turn 35? Right.
All right, listen, when we come back, it's Brittany's Random Thoughts.
You know, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's Random Thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheek implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
Really? It's Brittany.
All right. Time for me to shine.
It is.
You may have heard the story. It's kind of a follow-up. But a four-year-old boy named Noah got a hold of his mom's Amazon Prime, and he ordered some SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles. How many? Quite a few. 51 cases, and that
quite a few. That's an understatement.
That equaled $2,600.
Brittany, I got to be honest. I think Julia tried to tell us this story.
Yeah.
Rocco and I... we're like, whatever. And so...
I get it.
We're going to, you know...
I get that you guys want to be whatever. I was just doing the
follow-up. But you might have read the whole thing where Julia didn't. So there might be like some kind of surprising twist to this story.
Here's the nice follow-up. Okay.
All right.
So this all went viral, as you know, because, you know, Julia was talking all about it as well. They did a GoFundMe. They raised more than $7,000 for this single mom who's going to college with three boys.
And like, was it $2,000 worth of popsicles or something like that?
Yes, it was $2,600 worth of popsicles. Amazon obviously doesn't want to take, you know, they're not going to take popsicles back. So they raise all this money. And then what was really cool is Bryant wrote, the mom wrote, as a parent to a child living with ASD, that's autism spectrum disorder, all additional donations will go towards Noah's education and additional supports. We cannot thank you enough.
Oh, well, so that's like a sweet.
Yeah. Nice follow up.
It's a good thing that somebody thought to do a little story on this story.
I know, because I can't even imagine.
You would really be like, that would be devastating.
Devastating.
That's so much money. In popsicles, unplanned, like, you know.
I just can't believe Amazon wouldn't take it back.
Right, if they're still sealed and everything, right?
And I get, like, I mean,
no, just, it's because of the unfree, you know, who knows? They don't know how. Yeah, you read the fine print.
I just feel
before
like.
Before you order with Mr. Jeff. Yeah. Support just, your local businesses,
Jeff. Like, Jeff, you're one of those people that they, you don't look great in this story. So yeah, how about, like, yeah, you don't.
He didn't even know about it. But I get that, because you don't want to be the person buying frozen, unfrozen, then refrozen popsicles. You know they don't taste right.
Yeah, but
they don't taste right.
They're mostly sugar anyways, these ones. These aren't like your fruity ones, but I get it. Yes.
Mr. Jeff doesn't have a helpline for all the sad sack stories that go on every day with him.
You and I, we're both wearing sheer last week, and it got me thinking, like, what are the trends? We're in this really weird place. Oh.
Tell me about it.
I know, in this weird place.
I don't know how to dress anymore.
I don't know how to dress either, obviously. And so we're at this point where, like, I looked it up and I was like, okay, like, I kind of have to just trust, because it's not like we've seen people outside. We haven't seen. It's usually, you know, trends usually happen in a way where it's the transition of something. Somebody wears this yellow thing and the yellow now becomes this thing. But we don't have people out and about that much. So I just looked up Cosmo, what they said that the 2021 summer fashions are.
All right, tell me, because I went to a graduation party yesterday. I was dressed like I was going to the First Avenue, okay? I had a black leather jacket on, and I don't know how to dress for a daytime party.
Okay, so crop tops are a big thing. Now, I know what you're thinking, like, you might not want to wear crop tops. It isn't necessarily mean that you're showing the midriff.
You might have a high-waisted pants. Yes. Yeah, or a high-waisted skirt on. Yes. It's just more that length. Listen, God bless if you can wear that length.
Yes, exactly.
Of a shirt. That is a hard-to-pull-off length.
Exactly. Puffy sleeves, kind of dramatic sleeves. You'll see, like, at the end, puffy, you know, not even just over the top, just, like, something fun with the sleeve. They're really leaning into that.
If you're short and round, I would not recommend the puffy sleeve. Just saying.
Yeah, it doesn't do
round adds pounds.
Yes, true that. Cutouts are very in.
Oh, Lord. We saw this at the Oscar. We're like, who the hell with pandemic pudge wants to wear cutouts?
I know, it's not
We're
great.
All working on our pandemic pudge. Am I not right?
You're 1,000% right. I don't think
Is with the cutouts?
I don't know. And you're so right. Like, the idea of anything being cut out of my clothes, it sounds like it would end up looking like one of those Play-Doh toys that would be pushed through. Yeah. No, thank you.
No. Okay, give us something we can work with.
Here's one. Sheer.
Oh, I always love sheer.
Sheer
never goes out of style. But maybe what you wear under it changes.
It can be intimidating, right? Like, if you see something sheer, it's just keep in mind you can wear anything under it and then have fun with that.
I was uncomfortable when Ramona for the Burning Man in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
And she had the rhinestone nipple covers, and then she squeezed herself into a sheer netted
sheer fishnet
top.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feared for that mesh top. It seemed like it was going to burst.
Did she not look good though? I think she looked fit.
No, she did, but she's so painful. She's so chuggy. She's just so She's so cringy.
Nothing ruins an outfit more than somebody coming in going, look how good I look.
Yeah. I would have, you know what, I would have totally, like, I would have put her in some flipping little, not a fringed miniskirt. I would have put her in, like, some damn chaps.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
If you're going to wear a sheer top, Rocco, with nipple pasties, then you can just wear some chaps.
I love that.
With a thong underwear.
I love that.
You can have a full bottom undie if you don't feel comfortable having your slapjacks out there.
Are you writing this down, Brittany?
Yes, of course I am. Everything Lori tells me, I write down. I'm obsessed with living the Lori life. She gave me a heads up on what to wear in a convertible.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, and I was like, of course I should have asked you.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, oh no, here are these scarves. This is how you can tie it. And I was like, God, she's hashtag goals.
If Grace Kelly, you've seen in Monica, what is it, Catch a Thief?
Yeah.
And she's in the car and she's got the scarf tied around her hair in the convertible and then it's tied back. We've seen Audrey Hepburn and then sunglasses. And then when you get to where you're going, you can undo your scarf if you want. And then pass out your hair.
Luscious hair.
It's so great. Otherwise, you get wind knots.
I mean, it's not going to go that way for me. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to whip it off and my head will
get stuck. No, it's going to blow off down the freeway. Totally. You do have to tie it.
Oh, tight. Okay. You do have to tie it. I'm taking notes. Yeah. We heard about Kim Kardashian buying that iconic 90s Janet Jackson outfit for $25,000.
Oh, is that who bought it?
Yeah. And she bought that. But here's the thing. I looked into it. They actually have quite a bit of the Jackson family history in their house. They possess two iconic items. One was the hat from Smooth Criminal. And they said there's still makeup on it. And then they also, this is all for North, their oldest kid. They bought a one-of-a-kind velvet Jackson that he wore when he went out with Elizabeth Taylor. So this is their third Jackson item that the Kardashians are holding on to. So, just a fun fact.
It is a good one.
Does North have something affinity for Michael Jackson?
They claim
she loves the music. She was two and started listening to Thriller, and she hasn't stopped dancing since.
So, Kim claims that, it kind of feels a little forced, but maybe it is true. But she goes, North is a really big Michael Jackson fan. We knew she would love this. I know. It feels a little bit like when you want your kid to like something.
Right.
So you just say
when people get real declarative about things their kids are doing, then they're six, seven.
Kid was into Michael Jackson, I made him a Spotify playlist. I should have thought to buy the Smooth Criminal.
Right. Rocker,
we should call probably child services if that's how you're going to raise your children.
So it's totally reasonable that North has just been jamming out to Michael Jackson since she was, in her playroom.
I know.
She's two.
And you know what? If you know anything about kids is
they get obsessed.
He'll be something else.
Oh, for sure. My kid went from Michael Jackson to Daft Punk in a day.
Yeah. In a heartbeat. Right. It's heartbreaking because then you learn about it. But yeah. So there's your random thoughts.
All right. Thanks. Thank you so much. All right. Courtney Love is dragging Hulu's Pam and Tommy. We got to talk about this. Ariana Grande. She's in love with love, and she's married.
Married.
And maybe on honeymoon. We don't know.
I hope she's happy.
Yeah, listen, here's what I say. She's young.
Yeah.
She's probably going to have more husbands.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. Just, don't want to be a pessimist, Rocco, but just looking at the love landscape and, when you're 28, it really does feel like you can last for forever.
Yeah.
And then you get to 32.
And you go, it hasn't been forever already?
Holy crap. What are you talking about? Okay. So speaking of just numbers, so I really am just shocked that Halston is only 5 episodes.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I know.
Holly's watched them all. So I told her maybe she'll bring us something for Dirt Alert or whatever. But I mean, that Pam and Tommy show on Hulu is getting 8 episodes. 8.
About what?
Well, I don't know, but gosh, really, Courtney Love, who knew? Here's a friendship. Courtney Love is very good friends with Pamela Anderson.
Okay,
so they are dear friends. And we've been seeing lots and lots of pictures from the set in Malibu of Pam and Tommy, where they're now setting up over the weekend. We saw all these pictures of Lily James, and I guess she is using some kind of inflatable breast, things,
enhancements,
because she is not the double D size of Pamela, but she looks, she is serving us the razor thin brows, the overlined lips, the buxom cleavage, eyes so smoky. You'd think you're in an episode of a firefighter show. I mean, the thigh high red cut bathing suit. She, you forget like how unbelievably gorgeous Pamela Anderson
and iconic.
Iconic. And so they're doing the Baywatch thing. Yeah. So the English paparazzi have been getting lots of pictures of Lily James because, I mean, she's people. First of all, she was, you know, what's her name? Meryl Streep's younger person in Mamma Mia.
Yeah, yeah.
And but Downton Abbey is how people know her. They also know her from what else do they know her from? I can't remember.
And I know she is in stuff too.
Yeah, she's Cinderella.
I think so. I think she did Cinderella.
She did the live you know, animated Cinderella. Anyway, but the photos of her have been everywhere, and I'm sorry, but people love to click on pictures of hot women in bathing suits.
Right? What?
Even if they're even if they're playing, you know, somebody else, but it really is, you're just like, wow, she really does look like her. So anyway, and you know how they're describing this at Hulu, mm-hmm. the Pam and Tommy, because Seth Rogen is in it too. He's playing one of the guys who steals the safe that was in the Malibu garage that they took because Tommy Lee hadn't paid them for flooring these guys did in the house.
Okay.
So they're calling it a comedic limited series on the true story behind the release of the first ever viral video in history, the sex tape of Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. And Sebastian Stan is Tommy Lee, which he's not giving me any BDE in any of the photos, but a shockingly accurate Lily James is.
Yes. And so
her photos have been everywhere. And
also, can we acknowledge that suit is impossible for mere mortals to wear.
Oh my goodness.
I look at that suit and how high waist, I mean, how high it
thigh
goes
and
up
the thigh.
And how much it cuts in the.
Very similar to the Farrah Fawcett red bathing suit.
Yeah, it's like, how is and Lily James looks awesome in it.
And looks like Pamela.
And looks like Pamela in it, but it's like you really start thinking about logistics of putting on that suit, and I would be like, I need Nair immediately. Like a lot of it, like 2 pounds of it.
Yeah. Well, Lily James is probably just, you know, ethereally beautiful. Yeah. And of course, people also know her from her, you know, canoodling in Rome with Dominic West, that whole thing when they were filming something. So anyway, Courtney Love saw some photos in Page Six this weekend because they had them.
Yeah.
On Page Six front page and Page Six style. So Courtney was reading Page Six and she went on Facebook and she wrote this. I find this so bleeping outrageous. And she said, she goes myself. And then she did the Patty Scheme and Mad MX. She did their Twitter handles.
Yeah.
We're making a record and the lone women in many recording studios in LA were all the staff engineers, producers, owners were watching the sex tape with huge schadenfreude, guffaws. It was disgusting. I banned anyone disgusting. It destroyed my friend Pamela's life utterly. And she said she was contacted by the Hulu series because they wanted to use the December Rolling Stone cover that Courtney Love was on, I guess.
Yeah, it's very
in the series.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't approve it. And I guess Pamela Anderson is not happy about this Hulu documentary or this, it's not documentary, fictionalized thing. Yeah. She's not happy about it either. And then Courtney wrapped up the whole message and she goes, and shame on Lily James, whoever the bleep she is.
Oh.
Hashtag vile. And I'm just like, whoever the hell Lily James is, excuse me, Courtney.
I know. You know what's crazy? It's like the reason we loved
Pam... I mean, if that's an upsetting portrayal...
I know, but here's the thing. Like, the reason we loved Pam, you know, running around with Tommy is that they didn't care.
That's right. They
and
didn't.
And you know what? That I may or may not have seen some of the sex tape. It's amazing.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
It's aspirational.
And it didn't ruin her life. I mean,
at all.
Yeah. Well, no, she has talked about it.
I get that it's terrible when it happens, but at this point.
And the story, though, is wild. And I read, we did a vintage scandal on this, Rocco, a few years ago there was a pretty good story, I think it was in Rolling Stone magazine, about the story of how that tape got out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike, you know, the story with Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton, those tapes, their story was not known for a long time. And it wasn't only until like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and you're like, what the hell? So yeah. The story is that Tommy Lee, you know, and they're living in Malibu, and he just seems like very chill, like yeah. Nobody's signing paperwork or, you know, loose accounting. And he hires these two guys to redo the floor or do some kind of home repair.
Yeah.
Okay. That required, you know, payment.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy didn't pay him. And they just kept going, come on, man.
Yeah.
You're like a rocket. You're in Motley Crue. Pay us our money. You owe us like, maybe it was like $22,000 and Tommy thought it was this. I mean I'm getting all my little these facts wrong as far as the dollar amounts. And they had been in the house enough because they were going, there was like a garage or attached or something. And they had seen this safe that almost looked like a gun safe, but it was a vault safe.
Yeah.
And they thought,
it's got to be in there.
No, they didn't. They didn't know what was in there, but they figured if it was a safe.
Yeah, it's got to be something they can get, recamp there. Yeah.
And they took it when they knew that they were gone because they had the key, the code.
Yeah.
And so it was an inside job and they got found out relatively quickly, but no one ever knew this story about.
That's very, how that is so lame that it came out like that. But also, and I get that.
I mean, she hasn't seen it yet. Yeah. You know, who knows? It might be the best thing for Pamela Anderson's career. I think, Courtney, you're just jumping the gun.
A little bit. Yeah, I think there's something about jumping on something when you're not very relevant and you want to try to be relevant. I mean, you've heard her mentioning the, I did not give them approval to use my magazine. I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah, right. Okay, what do you make of this?
Mm.
9 months after Trevor Noah bought this house in Beverly Hills and he and Minka Kelly moved in, they have broken up.
I know.
I kind of thought that they were really going to, like, they were very serious about each other. I saw the wedding, Brittany.
I mean, they seem... like
they've called it quits.
Listen, after Mulaney's, their divorce, I'm just convinced, because I just thought these people were real. And I thought John Mulaney was real.
Who's John? John Mulaney. Yes.
And now I just keep finding out. It's like, love isn't real, you guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, these two did not leak any. They did not have a messy falling out, but he did buy a fancy home in Bel Air, and the word was last that we'd heard from them, from people, they were moving in there together. So the pandemic, you know.
It's rough.
It's rough.
It's been a rough year. I think they'll both be okay, but.
But it's weird buying a house in LA, then letting people know about it. And then, it's not like either of them to.
No.
But she hasn't worked in anything. I love her.
I love her too. I can't even think the last thing she's even been in.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very scarce on her IMDb, let me tell you.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one more little TV thing. I have, or not really a TV, it's a fashion thing. It's posted on our webpage. It's Gucci's Hollywood Forever Sunglasses ad campaign.
Will you just buy me one?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Rocco, I don't know. I feel like you would dig these glasses.
They're so cute. Oh,
they're very Hollywood. They're... Oh, you know, I never know how to hold up
any. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're so cute. So there's a heart one.
So if you want to see it, look up Gucci Hollywood Forever. Is that what we're doing?
Art's our show page.
There you go.
Yeah.
Make it so easy for the people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think, and then this is what you need with your scarf up here.
Agreed.
A cat-eye glasses.
Oh.
A bigger oversized frame. Anyway, by being in a convertible and having every, but I trust your windows are up.
Here's the one thing. Yeah. These sunglasses may run more than the convertible.
No, but you look at these.
Yes,
and then
you're right.
You can go to Forever 21.
You're right. Yeah.
And get the knockoff.
Agreed.
Right. Yes. Or even if you've got a small face, or you can fit into child's frames, Claire's.
So wait, you really did? You really did acquire a convertible, or what's going on?
Yeah, I bought my mom's convertible.
I love that.
What is she, it? It's a Corvette.
What?
Convertible.
So great.
Yeah, is it out in the parking lot?
Yes, it's out in the parking lot. I'm not a big car person, but I love my mom's convertible. And she,
What color?
It's like a silvery gold.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What are we doing at 6:01?
Whoa, right? We cruising. Yeah. No, it's very fun. My mom, they sold their house in Woodbury, and she said, I don't need this convertible. Will you buy it for me? And I was like, yup.
Yeah. So I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay. Listen, when we come back, we're going to Hollywood speak. Someone was hospitalized, Nick Jonas, after suffering injury on a set of a quote unquote mystery project. We'll be right back.
So what are you trying to say?
Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
All right. What is the meaning of this? Nick Jonas was hospitalized after suffering an injury on set of a mystery project.
I mean, there's so much scandal and secrecy around this.
It can't be anything he's doing with Priyanka.
No.
Because we would know about that.
Well, yeah, for sure. We'd see many of photos as they devote each other's love
because
to each other.
Because those two don't do anything. No. So I don't know what it is. And you know what I thought? Mm-hmm. I don't really care.
He is wild. Is that the thought I had?
Is that the exact same thought?
Yeah. Totally. What's Nick Jonas doing? And then I go, oh, wait, I don't care.
That's right. Why don't we care?
I don't know. Is it just like...
We'll see him when we see him.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about him.
Yes, yeah. Me too. That's funny. I'm like, oh.
Okay, this picture is sending the internet. To me, it was the best thing picture-wise I saw all day today. I will just say it is a mother breastfeeding. It's an Olympian breastfeeding her child. She's while doing a handstand.
Oh my God, that is impressive.
Isn't that impressive?
That is very impressive.
I know. It made me laugh and smile so much. I thought, motherhood, would you look at that? Look at Rocco, what we can do.
I am looking at that. That's insane.
Is she nakey? Or...
She's got a nice pair of like hanky pankies.
Hanky panky.
Hanky panky. Remember that brand of underwear?
Yeah, yeah. So she's got like leggings esque on or no?
No. That's just a underwear. Hanky panky underwear.
Oh, I thought you were saying like a long underwear thing. No.
No. Hanky panky.
Okay.
And she's doing some kind of a yoga pose.
Yeah, she's doing a headstand.
And her child is, breastfeeding.
That's wild. That's a great photo.
Isn't it? Anyway, she, originally shared the photo as a collage celebrating her first Mother's Day. She named her baby, which, wow, I'm going to hold up the kid again. He was born last July because he's a big, healthy baby. That's the benefits of breastfeeding right there. Flo was born last July.
Flo? G-L-O-W?
F-L-O-W.
Oh, Flo.
Flo. That's a little guy's name. I mean, look at how, doesn't he look like he's two? He's not even one.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big baby. That's a big old baby.
Big old boy. So Flo, and she's Tora Bright. She's a snowboarding icon.
Yeah, well, I mean,
even I flippin' love that. And that kid is only 10 months old. Anyway, she won the gold in the half pipe in 2010, and so she 4 years later, but people are yelling at her, but I see applause for her,
yes.
Applause for the baby.
Also, it's like a really cool photo, and you know what? The kid kind of looks like a hamster when he does it, and that, to me, is winning.
Oh, like he's going up to like the little dispenser.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like, what a strong woman. And then what, like, to be photographed. Okay, first of all, I can't even in my youngest of years, could never do a headstand. It is one of my things I failed at. I just wasn't good at it. I got dizzy. My neck hurt. I started complaining. I would fall over immediately. I never did that.
Unless my body changes quite a bit. I don't know if me doing a headstand, the length of my chest would reach the baby. That would be a real problem.
Well, and the bravery of, like, if you do have breastfeeding boobs, you know, to have them reverse gravity. Yeah. I have nothing but applause.
That's an amazing photo. It's changed me.
It's an amazing photo.
From here on out, there will be before I saw this photo and after. That is amazing.
It really is. Oh, my gosh. All right, what else can we Hollywood speak? Oh, who wins in the Warner Media Discovery merger? Did you guys hear about this?
No.
Oh, there's another merger thing happening. AT&T is spinning off Warner into a new company and merging it with the Disney Network. So that means everything isn't Disney or Netflix or NBC Universal will now be one.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's huge. So it's HBO, CNN, Warner Brothers, TNT, TBS, et cetera, and Discovery History, Smithsonian, TLC, et cetera.
Does this mean?
Guess who wins? Oprah.
Not us. Does our subscription rates all go up like a dollar?
Yeah, she last December sold 95% of her own network to Discovery for $36 million in stock. She kept 5% of the network and keeps running it to herself. And then, boom, you know, she made like $51 million just like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so she has the number one book in the country and she's got her Apple TV. Take a look at that. We posted that. But I mean, I'm just saying that did you guys know that AT&T was doing that?
Isn't there something recently, too, that AT&T bought Yahoo?
Yeah, I think so. And Huffington Post bought the Daily Beast. And
we're all just going to be one conglomerate.
But
soon.
Yeah.
Verizon. No, wait.
So everything that isn't Disney or Netflix or NBC Universal will now be one. And that means HBO, CNN, Warner Brothers, TNT, TBS, Discovery History, Smithsonian, TLC, all that.
Verizon sold Yahoo recently.
Oh, yeah.
I just had to use one of my New York Times articles this month. Just
no, Rocco, that's not worth it.
Really
that's not
wasn't.
Worth it. All I care
click.
About was is the Yahoo answers went away. That's all the real only reason.
But like that's like a big kind of a media gobbling up.
Yeah, I honestly, I'll look at it as a plus if I get more with my Netflix
there
subscription,
you go.
But I'll look at
we'll
it as a
wait
negative
and see.
If
we'll
it goes
wait and
up.
See.
They've been creeping a lot lately. Mm-hmm. They've been adding these little dollars here and there.
Right.
Do you ever want to get rid of like one of your streaming services and you're like, I don't know. What if I want to watch that one show?
Yes.
Right. This is how they keep you.
I did watch some more of The Serpent this weekend.
Oh, Rocco, how have you been dragging that out? It's
did,
so good.
It did give me a lot of angst.
It did.
Very similar to the last scene in this week's Mayor of Easttown.
Oh.
Just a lot of, what's going to happen here? Yeah.
But how many more?
So I think I'm four into The Serpent now. I know, I'm going slow.
That one, you're really going slow. Most people did that show in a week.
I know.
In a week.
It's
because
creepy.
It was so compelling.
It's super creepy.
But Rocco's a little bit of a scaredy cat.
I got to wait until, I have to do this where Handmaid's Tale came back, but I got to wait until that whole season goes through.
Why?
And then I'll switch, because I want us to not have one of the services while we pick up another one.
Oh, I see.
So, and only because, like, then I'll be more aware.
I watched the first three. That is as dreary as I remember that show.
Yeah, it's very depressing.
Yeah.
I'm into that, though.
I know.
Yeah, that's
I know.
Why I didn't watch it. I'm like, I don't need more depression.
My brother
right
wanted my mom to watch that show because they loved watching Yellowstone. I said, Larry, Mom was born in 1941. She lived through some dystopian time.
No,
birth control wasn't invented until 62 and couldn't get a credit card or a loan or open a bank account without your husband or your dad until 1975.
That's wild.
It didn't change until 1975.
That's not that long ago.
Yeah, I know. So
yeah, she's good. She's lived through
I'm
it,
like,
so she doesn't need to watch
Mom
it.
Mom isn't going to like this.
She is Offred.
She's like, no. So anyway, they're watching Longmire.
Oh, yeah. Good pick. Good pick.
Don't you think?
Yeah, for them. Yes. Very, have fun.
And when I say Bruce Willis and John Travolta team up for a movie, what do you say?
Neat.
Straight to video. All right. We'll be back.